One of the things I've learned is I can give announcements. Julie can really give announcements. And every morning when she gets up there, I'm telling you, there's an energy and there's an anticipation because you're never quite sure what's going to happen. And it just sets the tone. It makes it a lot of fun. We are glad you're here. And tonight we're one of the things you're going to see this week and as we continue to go look to the future, we continually want to do some things to help make Northern Pines more accessible for everybody. As each new young family comes, we want them to connect and engage in ways that work for them. And so we're, for several reasons, we're adjusting our schedule a tiny little bit, but we also tonight want to give you a chance to breathe and just reconnect and enjoy your evening together. Most of you drove to camp, and there is a change in how you've come to camp from 20, 30, 40, 50 years ago and how you come to camp now. Even if you know how to get here, how many of you use maps or Google Maps or a GPS to get here? All right, that's just the way it goes. My wife puts a funny, weird English voice on hers. I don't know why she does it. How many of you have that voice? Do you like that? Okay, whatever. I think she'd think I was having an affair or something if I had that voice on mine, so I don't. But the GPS is so easy. But because of it, following directions has kind of become a lost art. My players, they say, hey, we're going to come to my house. Just head up Highway 235. They stop and say, coach, just drop a pin. Okay, or give us your address. Just plug it in. If I say go north, who knows where they're going to end up? My sons were the same way. North, south, east, and west, they never knew. My son was driving from Sterling to Lyons, which was 10 minutes north of us, and an hour and a half later, he was 30 minutes away from the Oklahoma border and hadn't realized he'd gone the wrong way. I don't know how you don't figure out after 90 minutes that the town that's 10 minutes away still isn't in front of you, but that's another story. When you had directions, though, it taught us things. It taught you patience, right? You had a landmark, and you had to wait for that landmark. You didn't have something ticking down in 2 miles, in 1 mile, in half a mile, in 800 feet, you were watching and you were waiting. You had to be alert because if you missed that landmark, how long were you going to drive before you finally turned around? And you had to have that conversation with yourself. Should I turn around? Should I not turn around? Maybe it's around the next corner. And so you just had to go through this process. It kind of went like this. You'd call somebody and say, yeah, you're going to drive for about 15 miles. What is about 15 miles? Is that 15 miles? Is it 14 miles? Is it 14 and a half? Is it 17? I don't know, but drive about 15 miles and then you'll see a big tree with a rock, a big rock. And so at about mile 10, you start thinking, now, is that a big tree? Is that a medium-sized tree? Is that a big rock? Is that a little rock? Is it a big rock with a little tree or a little tree with a big rock? And you're white-knuckling it now because you can't miss that landmark, right? And you're looking, you're not sure. The tension is growing. Your relationship might be fraying because the person you love next to you says, do you think we ought to stop and ask for directions? Which is code to us as you don't know what you're doing. And so now the tension in the car is growing a little bit. And then you see the tree and the big rock, and how exciting is that moment? You know that after the tree, pretty soon there's going to be this church that you got to find. You're going to turn right at the church, and you're going to go another couple miles. And finally, you're going to have, if you lived out in the country, they were going to have a wagon wheel with a reflector on the wagon wheel. And that told you you were there. Not a house number. It was the wagon wheel with the reflector. I say that because we had a wagon wheel once. And so you followed those directions. Here's the thing. You never thought about the church or the wagon wheel until you got to the tree. Didn't matter. If you never saw the tree, the church didn't matter. And so you had one step and you were focused on that step. When you got to that step and turned, okay, now I got to worry about the church. And I'm still not thinking about the wagon wheel. Once I get past the church, now I'm looking for the wagon wheel. When we ask God about the way ahead for us, how do we work ourselves? How do we get out of this situation? Or what's his will for our life? Or what's his plan for us? Or how do I deal with this situation? Most of us want to know about the tree, the church, the wagon wheel, and how many McDonald's we're going to pass along the way. We want the whole picture. But that's not how God works. This word says, he says, my word is a lamp to your feet. It's a light to your path. It's a flickering candle back in the day. It's a little oil lamp. And in the dark woods on the mountainside, it shows you where to put your next step. And then the next step. And he takes you step by step. Well, why would God do that? Why not show the big picture? Well, for some of us, if we knew where God was taking us, we'd never go because it's too scary right now. We're not ready. We're not in a healthy place. We're not strong enough. We haven't healed from something. And we'd be more apt to be like Jonah, jump on a ship going the other way as quickly as we could. And for others who are gung-ho, you're ready to go. God, show me. If he showed you everything right now, you might not need God anymore. You might not ever feel a need to step back into his presence because you know where you're going. Our theme for our staff this week is, this is the way, walk in it. It comes out of a passage in Isaiah 30. It says this, whether you turn to the right or to the left, your ears will hear a voice behind you saying, this is the way, walk in it. Our prayer this week is that as we stop and rest and listen and seek God, when we take a step to the right or to the left, we hear God saying, yes, this is the way, walk in it. Take another step, yes, this is the way. And we become very attuned to that voice, and step by step, he takes us to places that we never expected we would end up. Your morning pine nuts are going to walk you through this chapter a little bit and what God says some of those steps are. And I just want to introduce those to us tonight and plant a seed of how God may be working in you over the course of this week. Let me give you a background to this chapter. In Isaiah 30, Judah's been trying everything to deal with their enemy, Assyria. They have a faithful king, Hezekiah, but they're still trying to do their own thing. They try and make allies. They try and work out deals. They come up with all the strategies they can. And God basically says to them, you're in trouble. You're obstinate. You're stubborn. Instead of coming to me, you end up trying all these things. You heap sin on top of sin, and you dig your hole deeper and deeper and deeper and deeper. There's an old adage, if you find yourself in a hole, quit digging. But that's what they were doing. They dug deeper and deeper and deeper. And when people tried to help them, they actually responded just the opposite. This is what God says to them. He says, they're a rebellious people, deceitful children, children unwilling to listen to the Lord's instruction. They say to the seers, see no more visions. To the prophets, give us no more visions of what is right. Instead, tell us pleasant things. Prophesy an illusion. Lead this way. Get out of our path. Get out of the direction we're going and stop confronting us with the Holy One of Israel. I want to be real candid all week with you. Some of you resonate with this passage too well because this is where your heart has been for a while. When people have tried to say, hey, look where you're going. Don't tell me that. I don't want to hear that. Tell me it's going to be all right. Just tell me everything's going to work out. Get out of my way. This is the direction I want to go. And what happened to this people, their sin grew, and every solution they tried to find made it worse. And they're described as being on the side of this mountain, like a flagstaff that's all tattered and worn, just blowing in the wind with nobody else around. God had even offered them a way out. That's the sad part. In the middle of this, he said this, in repentance and rest is your salvation. In quietness and trust is your strength. Isn't that a great verse? In repentance and rest is your salvation. In quietness and trust is your strength. The problem is that's not the end of the verse. But you would have none of it. There's four steps, four postures that I'm going to just suggest this week that God is offering to us. As we're trying to figure out this way he has for us, as we're trying to figure out the next step, how do we get ourselves out of where we're at, or how do we go to the next place he has for us, there's four postures that help us hear his voice. And for each one of us, it might be a different one. Each morning in the Pine Nuts, we're going to take a look at one of these. And my prayer is that as we go through these, the Holy Spirit would say, yep, this is what I'm offering to you today. And you get to say, yes, I will accept it. Or no, I don't want any of that one. That's what a loving God allows us to do. They have this offer in front of them, and they still refuse. Now, if I'm God, in that moment, I'm like, fine, do your own thing, reap your just rewards. I'm going to find somebody who's obedient. I'm going to find somebody who's willing to listen, right? But see, we have a God who's very different than me, and I'm so glad. After all of this, after this sin that has just got to the place, it actually says it's like a shard of pottery and it just explodes all over the place. This is God's posture to them. As you sit here tonight, the Lord longs to be gracious to you. Even tonight, he rises to show you compassion. For the Lord is a God of justice, blessed are all those who wait for him. And so this week, I want to invite you into the presence of a God who, no matter where you've been, no matter what you've done, no matter how burnt out, stressed, anxious, excited, no matter where you're at, he longs to show you grace and be gracious to you. You have a God who is rising not to show you shame or to show you how you've messed up. He rises to show you compassion and meet you wherever you're at. He is a God of justice, and in that justice, his love reigns supreme. And so this week, four things: repentance, rest, quietness, and trust. And tonight, I just want to walk us through and allow the Holy Spirit to tug on our heart just a little bit. For some of you this week, the Holy Spirit is saying it's time to repent. Repent is a simple word. It simply means to change direction and return home. Growing up, I was always told, right, repent means to change direction. There's a nuance in it, and return home. If you want a picture, all you got to think about is the prodigal son. It's not just change. He could have changed and lived where he was and quit doing the things he was doing, right? Repentance was to change and start to return home. Some of us have wandered. Some of us have drifted away. Some of us have actually chosen to walk away. We could have been hurt. We could have been angry. We could be in the middle of something. And where we're at is in a direction that's moving away from God. This is God's word tonight for you. For the Lord your God is gracious and compassionate. He will not turn his face from you if you return to him. One of my favorite parts of the story of the prodigal son is something I've just learned in the last couple years. We often hear about when the father runs to the son, you know, he's so excited to see him. But it's very possible there's another reason. You see, Jewish tradition had that when somebody was like a prodigal, they had rebelled and gone away, that often people in the village knew the parents' love was going to be too much and they wanted to protect the parents. And so when they heard that somebody was coming back, the village elders would go ahead and get to the outskirts of the village, and they take pots and they throw pots and create a wall of broken pottery and keep that person from coming back. It's very possible the father ran to beat the elders. He had to get there before they did. When I read this verse, your God is gracious and compassionate. He will not turn his face from you if you return to him. He'll be like that father. He will run. And no matter who has an accusation against you, it doesn't matter. His face is turned to you. Some of you are in a place where this week the Holy Spirit says it's time. You need to go in a different direction. It's time to repent. And in that repentance, you're going to find your salvation. But know at the other side of that is not a vengeful God. It's a loving Father who's just been waiting for you to come back. For some of you, it's rest. Our sons are adults. Matt is a pastor now in Ohio. Mike's at they're wise young men. And it's hard for me not to think of them like 12 and 14 sometimes. It's really hard when they come home to visit, because you know what they do? They nap. They'll bring their kids. Hey, mom, hey, dad, they're here, we eat. 15 minutes later, you look at the lazy boy and they are out. And I can't complain because I do the same thing to Mike. There's something about when you go home. I don't know if it's a guy thing, but it's really easy to nap, right? Yes, thank you. What if rest is an act of faith? What if sleep is saying, God, I'm putting my head on the pillow. When I fall asleep, I can't control anything. All right? I can't control whether I snore or not. And I don't, no matter what my wife says. I can't control if I get leg cramps or not. I can't control if our sewer lines break. When I'm asleep, there is nothing that's in control. What if rest is just saying, okay, God, I am letting go of everything I'm trying to control, and I'm handing it to you. God created the earth in 6 days. Often you'll hear people say it was seven. But if you go back to the creation account, the first 6 days, he did all kinds of incredible stuff, but he never blessed those days. In the creation account, there's only one day that gets blessed, one day that receives his favor, one day that has something to offer that all the days don't. So God blessed the seventh day and made it holy, because on it God rested from all his work that he had done in creation. This week, if you're tired, if you're exhausted, if you're burnt out, if you're hoping to get to the end of tonight so you can check your phone and see if things worked out at work, or you've been doing everything you can to try and hang on to what's going on with your kids and you're at the end of your rope, I believe this week the Holy Spirit is saying to you, your salvation this week is going to be found in rest. Until you let go and rest and trust me, you're going to keep running that race over and over again. And a loving God this week has invited you here to Northern Pines to return and to rest. Third, quietness. Maybe this week's about quieting the noise. Quieting the noise outside. All the things, all the calls, all the stuff to do. Quieting the noise that goes on up here. One of our sons really wrestled with depression at a phase in his life. And part of his victory is learning to take away the strength of the noise sometimes that was in his head. And just to be quiet and to be still. Here's what happens when you're still. You don't have to fight for yourself. Exodus 14, 14, the Lord will fight for you. You only need to be still. Some of you who get louder and louder, the more stressed you get. Some of us, we've got to have the answers, and we've got to let everybody know we've got answers. We will debate and argue, and we will preach, and we will do all the things, and we get louder and louder, and God says, if you're willing to be still, I will fight for you. If you're willing to be still, I will defend you. And so for some this week, the invitation is to be still, and in that still you will find stillness, you'll find strength and direction and victory. And finally, trust. Some of you know the way you're supposed to go. You've known it for days, weeks, months, but you've been unwilling to take that step. You don't need another sermon. You don't need another Bible study. God has made it perfectly clear this is the step. But God, what if I take that step and they don't respond? What if I forgive and they do it again? What if I turn the other cheek? What if I go where you're calling me? And this week, God says, trust. He doesn't tell you what's going to happen. He's not giving you a GPS and saying, here, you can see everything that's going to take place. He's saying, here's your next step. Trust me. Jesus' own words, do not let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God. Trust in me. And for many of us, we know, but that step is scary. This week, go for it. Build an ark, run at a giant. Leave where you're comfortable like Ruth and go someplace you've never been. If God's calling you, go. Whatever it is, take the next step. One note on this that I want to make. The church often celebrates those who have overcome something incredible. We love great testimonies, right? I was the drunk. My wife had left me. I was laying in the ditch. Jesus found me. He healed me now. And we hear the story, right? We love the celebrity who's overcome, or we have the person. We love those testimonies, and those are great, great testimonies. But I'm going to tell you, if you're in the middle of it, sometimes those testimonies are really discouraging. Because you're not there yet. You're in that pain every night. You're in that frustration. You're in that setback. And I'm telling you, no matter how nice the person next to you is dressed, what kind of car they drove in, how good they look, there are a lot of people in this room right now that are in the middle of it. The depression is real. Your kids have walked away from Jesus and it hurts. Your marriage is on the ropes. You can't get through a night without drinking or using whatever drug it is. and you know how to put on the face when you go to church, when how you go to Northern Pines, and you want to change, there's a lot of us this week just like that. I just want to tell you, you're home and you're among friends, because we're there too. You don't have to have the story where you've overcome. You can be right in the middle of it. And God this week is saying, welcome to Northern Pines. For some, repent. That's your step. And listen for that voice. Yes, this is the way. Walk in it. For some, just rest. Just let go. Yes, this is the way. Walk in it. For some, just be still. Yeah, this is the way. Walk in it. For some, trust me, I know it's bleak. I know it's dark. I know you don't know how this is going to work out. Are you willing to trust me? If you're going through it right now, you're home. If your addiction still has you, you are welcome here. If you're fighting for a broken marriage, you're one of us. If you're battling depression, anxiety, sickness, bitterness, or anything else, and it doesn't seem like things are changing right now, you're loved here. And God is speaking to you this week and saying, you've come to a place, listen and take a step. And when we turn to Him, this is what He says. O people of Zion who live in Jerusalem, you will weep no more. How gracious He'll be when you cry for help. As soon as He hears, He will answer you. Whether you turn to the right or to the left, your ears are going to hear a voice behind you saying, this is the way, walk in it. There's a guy in the Old Testament, his name is Naaman. Naaman was this rich, powerful warrior. He was a nobleman in a faraway country, not a faraway, but an enemy of Israel's, but he had leprosy. His skin was falling off. He was a sick man. And he had this little slave girl who was a Hebrew. And she said, listen, there's this prophet in my country. If you go to him, his God will heal you. So Naaman first goes to the king, and he takes thousands of shekels of gold and silver and clothing. He takes everything he can so he can impress and buy his health. And the king says, first of all, I don't want any of this, because if it doesn't work, then you're just going to attack me. He says, if you're looking for the prophet, go see the prophet. And he goes to the prophet, and the prophet won't even see him. He sends out a servant. He says, just tell him it's a simple thing. Go down to that dirty Jordan River over there, dunk himself 7 times, and the leprosy will be gone. And Naaman gets angry. He wants a complicated solution. He wants a big show. He wants this miracle. He wants something extraordinary. And the prophet won't even see him. And the servant says to him, what do we got to lose? Why not try it? And I can just imagine the scene. I think Naaman kind of stomps down to the river. He dunks under once, looks at himself, and he turns to his guy. See, nothing's going to happen. The prophet says, he said 7 times. Or the servant said, he said 7 times. So he goes again. Nothing. 3, 4, 5. And I've often wondered how many times Naaman almost walked out of that river. And a simple dunk a 7th time, and said he came out and his skin was like a young child's. It was perfect. What if what God has for you is nothing complicated this week? It's not a convoluted series of steps or theology. It is a simple step. And to listen for His voice. I'd like us to prepare for this step. And I'd like to lead you just in a little exercise to prepare you for the week. Psalm 46:10 is a simple verse. Be still and know that I am God. And I'm going to take you in a practice to look at this verse and listen to this verse in a little different way as you start your week at Northern Pines. I invite you to just close your eyes. If you come from a tradition where you like to hold your hands open to receive from God, feel free to do that, but don't feel obligated. And I'm going to walk us backwards through this verse. And I want you to listen for the voice of the Holy Spirit, preparing you for a week of walking with Him. Be still and know that I am God. Be still and know that I am. Be still and know. Lord, this week we want to be still. We want to be quiet. We want to just be who you've created to be, but we're bringing a lot of noise. We're bringing a lot of stuff. We're bringing all kinds of things this week. So I asked, as we start this week at Northern Pines, that first and foremost, you would draw us back into your presence. That you would turn your face toward us and draw near to us so that we can draw near to you. Quiet our hearts, quiet our minds so we can hear your voice. And show us that next step. And as we take it, God, that we would hear your voice in ways we never had before. We would hear the affirmation. We would hear the power. Yes, this is the way. Walk in it. We pray a blessing over our kids who are with CCAs right now, who are out in the wilderness, who are in the junior high and senior high. For our young adults who are with us this week, God, let them experience your favor and your presence. Protect this place, that this would be a place where around this campus, your voice would be clear and consistent. We need your salvation, we need your strength. And so we give you this week and we open our hearts. And we wait to hear from you. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.